This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Yeah, baby, here we are back again with you. It is the G-Bag Nation, hour number five of the show, and we're live in Oxnard on the tennis courts here, training camp 2024. Earlier today, right here on The Fan, you listened to the Rangers get a sweep of the White Sox, maybe the worst team in baseball, but is the first four-game sweep at the new Globe in Globe history, so that's awesome. The Rangers' record in the month of July is an MLB best. I think it's 13-6 right now. They've won five in a row. 2.5 back of Houston now, a game back of Seattle, one win short of 500, Woolchuck. And we're fired up here on your home of the champs. It has been a grind of a season, but the worm is turning in a big way. And it appears that even though Josh Young is heading for Frisco and not Toronto, reinforcements are arriving. And here's Woolchuck with more on that. Around the Bases brought to you by Uber Eats.
They sure are. Historic day for Max Scherzer, as you mentioned. Rangers, every single one of these wins in the sweep by one run. In fact, every single one of their five-game winning streaks right now has been one-run ball
games. Except last night when they blew it open.
Right, last night in the eighth inning, you're right. So three out of the four, thank you very much. Four out of the five have been one-run games. Now you're just a game under 500. Like, to me, this thing is really, really clicking at the right time, and it's against two teams that couldn't have come at a better time in the schedule. You've got the White Sox and the Blue Jays. You're now going to Toronto. They're two of the biggest sellers. They're two teams that have kind of waved the white flag. Hey, Garrett Crochet, Vlad Guerrero Jr., if you're interested in our guys, give us a call. Make the best offer. Let the bidding war commence.
You load up that team plane going to Toronto tonight, and if you're CY, you eyeball all those guys that internally you're talking about being sellers, and you're like, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
This is exactly what we needed to give them faith, give them confidence going into the deadline. And I think we're about to get those vibes going again, Woolchuck.
I think so, too. I think we're about to get ready to pop open Club Rangers here any bleeping moment, boys. I think that's how crazy this is going to get. Shout out to Max Scherzer. He did have 9 Ks today. He went ahead and passed his fellow three-time Cy Young winning buddy, Justin Verlander, with a strikeout of Andrew Vaughn. His final out of the first inning, it was his second K. He moved up to 10th all-time on the career strikeouts list in Major League Baseball. Now, it is very possible him and Justin Verlander just swap back and forth until their careers are done there at that 10th overall spot as they continue to try and climb up the list. But shout-out to Scherzer. He's been really, really brilliant. And moving forward, man, you just hope for the best every single start. But so far, he's been coming up clutch for you.
It's like, what, 3,400 strikeouts or something? Do you guys think we could strike out anybody, even Austin Hedges?
No.
You know?
No.
Chris Davis at his depths of hitting 190 back in the day. If I gave you like 6 months to train, get that arm loosened up through, so you're throwing a good 76, 77 miles an hour, we'll get Tom House or Mike Bassick's dad to teach you a little break and stuff. No strikeout?
None. No way. And I would worry about getting hit with a ball.
Like we're
doing the throwing.
To the pitcher. I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
I'm worried about pitching.
We'll get you an L screen.
Following through, and then all of a sudden they just right up the middle off the dome.
Yeah.
Could happen.
Broadus is living in a world of fear right now, though, yeah. with physical pain because of that spill he took last night.
Well, you know, that can rattle you. You know, that could take you off your game a little bit. We do have the office ace Tim Collins on set here on the tennis courts, a college pitcher. Would you give that a big thumbs down or a thumbs up, Timmy? How many MLB batters? We're looking at the worst batters hitting under 200. We get 6 months of training. We're throwing in the mid-70s or so. Could we strike out any of them ever? You have an unlimited supply of under 200 MLB hitters. No, he's going to say no.
Yeah. As he's holding back his laughter at the suggestion.
I mean, I think a pop out, maybe.
Oh, yeah, we get pop outs.
We can get that. Yeah, like, yeah. We could get somebody out, but a strikeout?
I mean, I'll get him to swing and miss at least once.
You guys watched the Home Run Derby?
Yeah.
You saw that, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
That's what it would look like?
Yeah, that cat from the Dodgers throwing to the guy at the Dodgers that won it all. It would be right in that slot. Every single time. And they would just hammer that thing 450 feet every time.
I'd like to give it a shot.
I'd love to see you give it a shot. Now, we do have Josh Young who's going to come back.
Location.
The location's clear.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe with the Bassics, that might be the one area where they might be able to coach you into it. Because Mike knew what it was like to not be able to throw very hard, but still attempt to strike some guys out.
See? And he'd get a K every now and then.
Let's get some movement on that. Maybe you get a wicked changeup or slider. Who knows? It's possible. I couldn't do it.
Aim small, miss small.
But yes, Josh Young will be starting tomorrow in Double A Frisco as he's getting closer to coming back to the big league club. We also got great news. Kamar Rocker also is going to pitch for Double A Frisco tomorrow. He underwent Tommy John surgery last May. He's pitched 3 rehab games in the Arizona Complex League. I mean, this was a guy that was pitching so well in the minors a year ago. Prior to him getting hurt, Boach didn't rule out the fact that he could come up and help the big league club out of the bullpen later on in the season.
Was it a Tommy John for him, though?
It was.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's already pitching back in Double A Frisco tomorrow. So, I mean, that's great news for Kamar Rocker. I mean, certainly a guy that I don't think is going to help you out the big league level this year. But hopefully we get to see him pitch really strong and well, and we're excited for spring training next year.
I like his chances better than Leiter.
That's what I was going to ask you. The fact we haven't heard about Jack Leiter very much.
Leiter's been having some good outings lately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we
haven't talked about him in forever.
No, we
haven't. I saw his dad like on the MLB Network, you know, and I was like going, "Well, I haven't seen Leiter, you know, Al Leiter's up there standing around talking.
I haven't heard about Jack,
but I didn't know anything about Jack at all." I didn't know Jack about Jack.
Yeah, Jack. Jack's been doing okay. I believe he had 2 1/3 scoreless innings Sunday, struck out 7 batters, and 4 2/3 scoreless innings, excuse me. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going like super deep into games, but he is getting that swing and miss up consistently, and it's really about the walks. I mean, I've talked about that all the time when it comes to Jack Leiter, but the walks, I mean, if he's able to keep that down, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just,
Not expecting much at this point.
He embodies the visceral feeling of disappointment that we've experienced the last 3 months.
He does.
But Jack Leiter or Mozzie Smith, Dawson, which one are you lower on?
I'm higher on Jack Leiter.
Okay.
Than Mozzie Smith.
Yeah.
Haven't heard anything good about Mozzie yet. I'm anxious and I'm ready. I'm at the ready to reverse course on
that. At the ready. We're anxious and we're concerned at the same time, but we're not about this Texas Rangers team. Do have good news on DeGrom. He's moving forward. He's gone ahead and thrown some bullpens. Haven't heard anything when it comes to a negative with him, any fatigue. And congratulations, Robbie Grossman celebrated
10 years
of service in Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. But some takeaways, I think, Marcus Semien has turned the corner here. He's swinging the bat really well. How about Leody Taveras the last couple of nights?
Raking.
Coming up big for you. That's impressive stuff. We did have a no-hitter today in Major League Baseball.
Oh, Dylan Cease.
Yes, his second career no-no. He threw this one against the Nats. It was 94 pitches through 7 innings. Then he's looking over, and they're wondering, okay, are you going to pull him here? No. They let Dylan Cease stay out there. He throws the no-no. Congratulations to him and the Padres. Pretty epic moment for him. And Clayton Kershaw, Highland Park Zone, had a pretty good debut for his first outing. Signed that 1-year deal to stay with the Dodgers, allowed just 2 runs to the Giants in a season debut after offseason shoulder surgery. So, hey, some of the old greats when it comes to Scherzer with a great day today, Kershaw coming back and pitching well. Good to see.
Turn back the clock day.
Absolutely it was.
Ooh, I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
I used to write for professionally. I was a writer.
You did. Yeah. And shout out to
David Hellman. Yeah.
You wrote unprofessionally. You had a professional editor.
What are you doing over there? I wrote.
No, you're right. You wrote.
But you're right.
You are right. Yeah.
Not good news for the A's. We've talked to Mason Miller and just how badass he is as a closer. Well, he's been put on the IL with a broken finger on his non-pitching hand. So they're trying to maybe trade him at the deadline. It's a broken finger on the non-pitching hand. I still think that's a guy that is able to throw for you for a contending team. Just give it a
lot of control over him, right? If you trade for him,
you're going to have to give up a lot to get him.
But you've got control over him for a long time.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those, it was a Brock Burke situation, but it was out of excitement.
Oh, he was too excited.
I'm pretty sure the way it read, because I just saw it was like, no, it was like a slam hand after a win. Okay, you're the closer. Oh, you just got the win, and then you break your finger by slamming your hand on the table. That's like a hell yeah out of excitement slam, right? And then, oh no, I just hurt myself. Do you look at that differently than the guy who was super pissed off at himself?
Yeah, that was unintentional.
I did that last night, falling. I hurt myself.
Yeah, we should probably talk about that. How are you?
I'm hurt. You can see. See the bruise I got in my hand?
My goodness, dude.
I got a bruise in my left hand. I've got scrape marks in my right hand.
Lucky you didn't break your wrist.
Your knee looks gnarly.
And in my knee.
Your knee is pretty fudged.
Yeah, how we get that in the camera?
Yeah, but get that knee up
You
there.
Can see some meat.
Wow, look at that flexibility.
That was a big-time skinning.
That's like, you know what? I now understand when you're like old people fall and break hips and stuff.
Yeah,
why you need the life alert.
I get it, yeah. I you know what? I popped up pretty quick because I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I was. But I, like, yeah. It was
and you powered through it. You know, you didn't whine.
You were okay.
We could tell you were hurt. We gave you your
my
distance.
My back, I can't, I mean.
You can't move.
Choppy helped me with some medication, but.
Why'd you say medication like that?
It's wore off.
Oh, you need some more?
Yeah, those gummies only last about a couple hours.
let's get Brian some more. But overall, I mean, it was a pretty hectic night last night.
Dude, this is 1 a.m. making our way through the Avis rental car parking lot from the backside.
Who got caught by it? Did you hear that announcement? Intruders.
Oh, yeah, that was all
Dawson? I'll say this.
Was Dawson, like, lagging behind,
it was all
like,
of us.
Doing stuff?
It was
like,
the three of us. You were speed walking.
I mean, we talked about Bobby.
Brian, I think, could enter the speed walking Olympic
event. He's good at it.
Event. Like, you were hauling ass.
He was
it's not a surprise you fell, because you were just freaking motoring forward.
Honestly, I needed a spatula to get up off. I was, like, on a flat top situation.
Yeah.
And I wanted to lay there for a while, but I was embarrassed. As my knee and then my back and my hands got all messed up.
I was just impressed how far away from your luggage you were as you were laying there. I mean, that must have been an impressive Olympic triple jump.
I had my backpack, and what happened was I was going forward so fast.
Yeah, so fast.
I couldn't regain, because all my weight was just going forward, and I couldn't. I'm not even athletic enough to stop myself.
Right.
I just shoulder into hand, shoulder, back. Backpack, everything hit the deck.
We started picking stuff off the ground.
Yeah,
I was concerned it was teeth for a second.
My earbuds.
Dentures.
I left one. I couldn't find one of my earbuds.
Oh no! I was. We were behind you at a good distance again because of your speed walking and your desire.
Intruders! Intruders! Intruders!
But I at first I was concerned that this was just general old man falling down. I became concerned for you.
Yeah.
And then as we got closer and we realized there was a blending in with the asphalt sort of speed bump situation that I think all of us would have tripped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Granted, we would have probably caught ourselves, you know, at our
age.
Maybe
you too.
Maybe, perhaps, Dawson might have hit the deck the same way that old Broadus did. But I felt like so much better about the situation. This isn't just old man Broadus falling down now randomly. We have to be concerned.
Well, you remember me
this
trying
is
to
a
get
tripping.
Up.
This was an illegal tripping. That's a 15-yard penalty on Avis, bro. You can't go black asphalt and then black disguised speed bump.
I kind of feel like I don't have a leg to stand on because we were coming through the back area of the complex.
We do need to issue a PSA, though. If you're flying in to LAX and you have Avis, their buses for the shuttles are the worst. So just hop on a different a competitor's bus, and then, you know, when you arrive there, make your way to Avis, because we would have waited a long time. Then when they finally did arrive, there were three of them in a row. So they're not spaced out to arrive every 20 minutes. They're, like, using the buddy system there with their Avis buses. And we're standing around with people as, like, countless National and Enterprise and Thrifty buses are making loops around that bad boy. We finally had to jump on one of those and made our way over to Avis. But our rental car luck with this and the drama at spring training, this is about as it's been.
Well, I think we might have a tire pressure issue, too. Eric was noticing that.
Oh, in our vehicle?
We got a PSI problem.
Okay.
But it's all right. It drove well. Me and Walchuk had a nice little grocery run this morning.
It was a good jaunt.
Walchuk's going to try some raw dairy products this week. I got some raw milk over the counter, some raw cheddar cheese. So we're going to see what that does to Walchuk's
gut. It's
been
a raw kind of time. We raw dogged the hell out of that flight last night.
Let's go.
We did.
It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. What did Jerry Jones mean when he said this about his quarterback? That's coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation on The Fan.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Day one of Cowboys camp. We'll give you the top stories right here. Who's looking good? Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. You can jump online at frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Soda. That is state of the art. A lot was said at today's Cowboys press conference. Our buddy David Hellman summarized the presser as such. I'd call that a defiant mess. The Cowboys front office clearly pretty tired of the shots they've been taking since January, but they also didn't offer much that would make you feel better about the situation that they are in. So, anyway, do you think the Cowboys are jammed up? I mean, I feel like the Jones family is pretty much used to, you know, taking arrows almost constantly.
I know the two or three guys that I deal with usually are not interested in talking with me about stuff. And I get that feeling. You know, there used to be times we would do shows and they would be listening and they send me a text message. They don't even do that anymore. So, to define jammed up, like not happy with the situation, not happy with us.
Yeah.
I would say that's pretty fair.
Well, that's tough. I mean, if you're legends that have been loyal to you, and a guy like Michael Irvin, who has, you know, been basically a Cowboy homer since he was drafted, you know, if they're even turning their frustrations up, you know, I just think that's a sign of denial. And that to me is a contributing factor to the problem. They don't realize there's a problem. Like, Jerry Jones was asked about the way that he runs the team, and he said, "I'm not comfortable doing it any other way." That's a major red flag. Like, if you want to be successful in life, you got to get out of your comfort zone. That's one of the first things that they teach kids. Like, hey, this isn't going to be super fun as you're dealing with the adversity of trying to get better. Get out of your comfort zone. Try different things. Try a different iteration of how that you structure your organization. And it is just a very strong no. I feel more confident than ever in my cynicism about this team ever getting anywhere meaningful in the postseason. And again, I don't think this organization is going anywhere until there's a fundamental change to how they structure that front office.
Hard to argue that, right? I mean, because we've seen this now, and we continue to reiterate it, and we've talked about it. They have not had postseason success, and you're going on 30 years. And you've had change at quarterback. The names on the back of those jerseys over three decades have come and gone. You've had some really, really good players, some Hall of Fame players that have come through here. And, hey, that's credit to them, I suppose, for still being able to put together at least a competitive team on the field. I don't think there's a doubt there. They draft really, really well. But in terms of why, what is the reason you've had a lack of championship success, the bottom line on how the operation is run from the top down, that is the one constant. That's the one blinking light that they probably need to look in the mirror and say, maybe we do need some outside voices, maybe some outside opinions, doing things differently, trying new things. It doesn't hurt. It's okay. Look at what Nico Harrison just did last year. People were grilling him, killing him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Shoe guy. What are the Mavericks doing handing the GM keys to Nico Harrison? Brings in some Dennis Lindsay, Utah guy. Had success, drafted Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, put together a winning product there with the Utah Jazz. Now, we're singing Nico's praises, man. He admitted, hey, maybe I'm not ready for this right now. And yeah. I get it. It's not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges. The Jones family's been doing this a long, long time. But to me, it's hard to really point at any other area because you've had different quarterbacks. You've had a great offensive line. You've rebuilt the defense. It's been pretty damn good here, right? There seems to be always something that it never really comes together. Like our buddy Vach Lombardi, he uses the peanut butter and jelly analogy, and I love it. We can never get both together. We got our peanut butter, but where's our jelly? Vice versa.
I wonder, with this team, though, you know, to me, they reminded you today how many all-pro players they've had, Pro Bowl players. I think the number was 17, and they're on the current roster and stuff like that. You know, they feel like the roster's good enough. I know that you've been, not critical, but you brought up their ability to hire a coach. But I don't have anything against McCarthy. Now, there's got to be something that we're not focusing on in the playoffs. There has to be something that, because the regular seasons have been just fine here.
Yeah.
Philadelphia's collapse allows you were playing well anyway. It was going to be a race.
Yeah.
You know, you were playing well enough to, if Philadelphia was, you know, Philadelphia, if they were kind of winning, you'd have been right there with them. But there's something that they cannot, and maybe it's the way of the coach. The coach is the one that can't get them over. Parcells, let's be honest, Parcells was too old.
Mm-hmm.
He was too old. Wade Phillips, you know.
I think Parcells could have got it done if he'd have stuck around.
Yeah. I think Parcells was too old, though, Dawson. I think Bill was interested in the fight, but he wasn't really interested in the fight.
Okay.
He doesn't, you know, it wasn't like when he, you know, we that Seattle game took a lot out of him. That playoff loss at Seattle took a lot out of him.
But I mean, you had him beat. You know, after what, a 13-3 year?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where I'd like
that's to, the only time they really got super unlucky to lose.
I just don't have an answer, man. And I don't think they've had an answer for 30 years.
That's why you need somebody new. Like, JD was doing a lot of good stuff.
Right.
You switched to Chris Young, new eyes. Hey, let's harness what we're doing well and tweak it. You mentioned the Mavs and Nico Harrison. The Stars now on a whole new level with a different front office structure. Like, this front office has proven mediocre is just what they do. And they draft so well because they've built a hell of a personnel department. Yeah. It's nothing against any of those guys or any of the players. Right? But if you don't have a legit Hall of Fame quarterback, you have to beat an impenetrable roster. They don't understand that. They don't understand what it takes to win a Super Bowl. Well, and Jerry is not comfortable even considering it any other way.
They might be moving on from Dak, though. You know, they might be. They might, to your point, you know, you can't win without a, you know, you can't win a Hall, without a Hall of Fame
guy. I mean, the Chiefs win a big one in a rebuilding year. The Chiefs win a big one in a year where their offense is fairly mid in the regular season because you have that difference-making player. They aren't thinking we have to win the Super Bowl at all costs. Like Jerry actually said, I'm going to try my hardest, but I can't promise anything, basically, today, to summarize. That's not what winners say. Winners say, by hell or high water, we're going to bring a championship back here. They don't say, well, it's hard. I'm going to try my hardest. And let the chips fall where they may. But dang, you guys are being too tough on us. Don't you understand how hard it is to win in the NFL? You know, that's the kind of things that I need to see change.
Is it just that simple for playoff football to change the general manager?
Well, yeah, because he'll understand I need a coach that can teach running game and I need a roster that can stop the other team's running game.
See, I think the coaches that probably would fit well here, Like I say, a Belichick would fit well here, like Parcells did, but you got to keep him out of personnel. Which,
sure,
in my mind, if I was Jerry, I'd say, listen, this is my arrangement I had with Bill. Okay, if you're willing to, then we can work together. I don't think Will and Steven particularly want Bill Belichick here,
because
The getting players is not the problem here.
No, that's not
the problem.
But also, if you're Bill, he failed at the personnel side of it. That's why he doesn't have a job. He wasn't any good. If he comes to me and says he still wants to have control of that, I don't know that I want Bill Belichick as my head coach. He's just as damn delusional then. That's an issue. If you want to come in here and still let us buy the groceries for you and let Will McClay and the scouts, who are the backbone and the reason this team's competitive, do their jobs, then Bill, coach away. You can be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. If he doesn't, then you're not going to get hired.
But you would also have to be open-minded to the coach's ideas on what traits that you need in order to execute a more modern offense with those kind of offensive linemen. You know, so there's got to be a give and take there. And I think there is a number of good young assistant coaches that would love to be head coach of the Cowboys that would let you have personnel control.
Ben Johnson with the Lions.
Slowick with Houston. They're out there. They're flowing off the tree.
Yeah.
And before too long, it's going to become the standard, you know. And at that point, you don't really have an advantage. We're already really close to it. Jones said, in my life, I've had a lot of things that I wanted, couldn't get because I couldn't afford it. That was the big blinking headline off of the discussion involving Dak Prescott. Do you think he's setting up a change at the signal caller, Brian?
Yes, I do.
This is the first sign that maybe...
I mean,
we're going to say these things publicly?
He's going to say all the right things and stuff like that, but I think deep down inside, they keep talking about how much the cap is going to players. You know? But that's the way this thing's built. That's the way it's structured. And so, yeah, if, you know, he's... I think that they're coming to the realization that they're not going to have Dak anymore because the number is too high.
Okay, that pays off the tees. Again, if you're saying that the number's too high, maybe the light has come on that he's not our guy, and that would be exciting to me. Like, okay, we're going to try for another quarterback. Maybe we get a C.J. Stroud or a Mahomes or a Burrow or a guy that could carry us to the next level, because I think that's what's going to take. They did set... The record for season ticket renewals. It happened faster than it ever had, and faster than the rest of the league. They had the highest rate of season ticket renewal ever. Does that speak against the idea of fan apathy?
Kinda, yeah. I mean, to some extent, it does. Unless they just have. I mean, when you're talking about the when you're talking about the season ticket holder fan, you're talking about some diehards for sure, and then you're talking about just big money people that are flipping those tickets every single time. I mean, they're not even going to the games. How many times do we just see it's the road crowd that comes in and takes over? So it's just good business for a lot of these big money folks who don't give a damn about the Cowboys really that much, but I'm flipping my tickets every Sunday, so dang right I'm going to, because I'm just going to sell it to the road team. So yeah, there's some element to that, too.
And I think it might be as well how they built in the personal seat license contract, where you got to give up so much money to get the season tickets. It's a major losing proposition to cut bait on that.
Yeah, to get out of that is really, really difficult. So I don't think that really speaks. I think what speaks to it is how many people are out here, just your general population fan, wanting to come out, sit their butt in the bleachers, and watch their team practice on the opening day of training camp. And that felt pretty dang light to me today.
Yeah.
And Saturday will be the big test.
That's the
big grand opening to training camp for everybody. And that, for the last 2 years that me and Walchuk have been here,
packed.
It's been absolutely popping. It's a great time, and I'm hopeful that Saturday will be the same. But I don't know, based on today.
The most optimistic thing I heard was McCarthy talking about Zeke being back. And this is not specific with Zeke, right? But he said they want to expand to some more two-back concepts in the name of flexibility and unpredictability. So maybe that light bulb came on. What do you think, Brian?
They did that today with Schoonmaker.
In the backfield?
Well, they did it like with how you would do with Kyle Juszczyk. Mm-hmm. When you watch the 49ers play, where it's motion, stop, back up, and then run the ball. So
creating great angles for your blockers that way.
Exactly.
And you got to have the personnel for it. I mean, it makes sense you're pulling Scooney in there because you're going, gosh, do we even have one running back and we're trying to put two on the field at one time?
Well,
you know, just based on the personnel that you have. I love the idea. There's no question.
But Hunter Lipke.
Oh, okay, Lipke.
Did I say Schoonmaker?
You said Schoonmaker.
My apologies.
Yeah, Lipke is the fullback.
Lipke would line up like slot right, and Dak would say, here we go. Mm-hmm. And now they move him to where he stops at the line, behind the line of scrimmage, and then backs up into position. So now they're in like an offset look, and then they're handing the ball off. So they're trying to do things. We've seen the 49ers with the way that they get Juszczyk in the game, and they get Kittle going. They get
and then it's beautiful.
Deebo Samuel, and then
their guys block.
Yeah, and they hand the ball to Christian McCaffrey, and now it's a student body left. But the Dallas was doing it today, where Hunter Lipke was not a stationary player. He was out in the slot and then motioned and got set, and then they ran the play with him in bringing him in motion.
Can we talk some first impressions with you real quick?
Sure.
Did you think of anything of Tyler Guyton or BB or Neyland, Smith?
Yeah, the thing about the thing that no, really the offensive line, defensive lines work separate today. I told you I found out it's 310 pounds, Mozzie Smith, which is, they've got him listed as 328 right now. He's not 328. I tweeted a picture of, if you want to follow along and see that.
Lean and mean.
My impressions, though, were I liked what the secondary was doing today and the way that they were playing coverage. And the receivers were doing their best to try and get open. But there were several times in the 7-on-7 where it's just receivers, running backs, tight ends, first, defensive backs, linebackers. It's no offense or defensive linemen.
7-on-7.
7-on-7.
Pascal.
Just straight 7-on-7. And the secondary did a nice job, and I was talking about with Bland. And people were asking me, well, hey, who was playing on the other side of, you know, with no Diggs in the game? And so what happened, you had Bland on the left corner, you had Jordan Lewis in the slot, and then Nashawn Wright was the corner to the opposite side.
Yeah.
So the guy getting the first work is Nashawn Wright in this group. But they had some guys rotate through there. I was really impressed with Bland today. And there were a couple of times where the ball was going to come his direction, and he was able to play in position, knocked one away on a crossing route that was really nice. But, man, another impression, too, with the two wide receivers. We've talked about Tolbert. We've talked about Brooks. I have both of those guys. If you want to score a fight, a heavy round, you know, heavyweight fight, I think this one was a draw today.
Pretty even.
It was an even, you know, there was. Now, one time, though, Brooks did get the ball, and this is the name you haven't heard all year. A kid named Josh DeBerry from Texas A&M, who's a rookie. Like, Brooks had a reception, and DeBerry rips the ball out of his hands. I mean, it is going to be a first down. And all of a sudden, this kid, number 38, DeBerry, just reaches in there and pulls as hard as he can, and next thing you know, ball's on the ground. So defensive backs, receivers, I thought for the most part for the first day out, there was some give and take out there with those.
Maybe guys. The most impressive thing that happened today, though, was Broadus there giving great analysis, fighting through a peanut butter chocolate protein bar.
Yeah. Sticking your teeth there.
That was A+. That was
camp veteran.
Gosh dang dominant.
My apologies to everybody listening because I took some more medicine and I was worried about my stomach. And I had to go with the protein bar. And then Dawson goes, hey, well, go ahead and throw out an opinion there.
You did an excellent job.
I felt like I had to give the opinion.
Yeah, here we go. 972, what's he sucking on? 940, it sounds like Brian is going to war with a lollipop.
Just a classic peanut butter, very chalky, dry protein bar. But you accomplished it, dude. You gave great analysis there.
Got to give love to John Stevens, though. He was my guy of the day.
Yeah,
he was outstanding.
Smooth.
He looks good.
Smooth. I think that's a weapon. Okay, we're back to crosstalk with the Get Right, tonight's configuration, Reggie and Fred here in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you, Lucius. You can watch us on the fan cam all training camp long, brought to you by Uber One. New members enjoy 3 months free at joinuberone.com. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and by Guardian Caps. As the Get Right joins us now here to talk about the day of sports and what's coming up on their show. Tonight's configuration, Reggie and Fred. And a good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Yo, what's happening, fellas? How are y'all?
Well, we're doing great. You know, Rangers get a win opening day of camp. It's, you know, exciting. Let's start with the baseball team. What do you guys make of 5 in a row, albeit 4 against the Shy Sox going into Toronto? Have they turned the corner here for us?
I'm still trying to figure that out, but the one thing that's kind of been fascinating to me, and we'll dig more into this at 7:20, is just I don't know how much it matters that they've turned the corner, and I didn't think I would see myself saying this 5 games ago because the rest of the division came back to you. And so, I mean, I think you found yourself in a place where as long as you're within swinging distance, that's really all that matters, and that should be what is necessary to get the team going.
What do you think, Fred?
Let me turn that on real quick. You know what? I want to be optimistic, all right? And I'm just going to say this. I am cautiously optimistic. But, you know, the thing about this team that we've seen is that, look, they beat up on the teams they're supposed to, and then they lose 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4, or, you know, maybe they'll come back and split with the teams they're, you know, the better teams, right? And so you beat up on the White Sox. You did what you were supposed to do. The White Sox are awful. That's a bad baseball team. And, oh, by the way, 3 of the 4, you only beat them by a run. So let's see what you do against Toronto, a middling Toronto team in Toronto. Then you've got St. Louis after that, right? And that's a team that, again, expects to be in the playoffs every year. And then you got the Astros. So you got a very critical stretch. And I know you got to make some moves before that. I know everybody's kind of this belief that maybe you buy, maybe you sell a little bit. But I think this is going to be the quote-unquote seesaw that we're on for the rest of this year.
I think you're squashing the sales guys in the office, though. You're silencing that narrative that maybe you should do that. You know, the team, offense did pick up last night, even though it was the first time they've scored that many runs in a couple of weeks. But the reinforcements on top of it, I can't help but be filled with optimism about where this team is going. Now, that might be the opposite of the fan sentiment around the Cowboys out here in Oxnard. Day one of camp, where can you guys find some positivity and belief that, you know, this could be a successful season?
My guy Cooper Beebe is just as fun as I imagined that he was on with you guys. That was fun. So I enjoyed hearing that. I don't know, man. Like, the optimism comes from the fact that they have constantly been some level of good, if that's something that you're okay with. But it seems like more often than not with fans of this team, yeah, you want a little bit more than that. And I completely understand why that's the case. But, I mean, you're probably going to remain a fairly good team.
Michael Parsons showed up like he had something to prove today. That's something, isn't it?
He sure did. Yep, sure did.
Sorry, Fred. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. No, I'll tell you what. One thing, and look, there's been plenty of cuts, and I enjoyed y'all's interview with Cooper Beebe as well, even though he is a Wildcat.
That's right. Emo.
What Dak said about being free, there's something about the way he said that and the fact that this dude has absolutely nothing to lose. Look, he doesn't care. Look, if he gets paid, if he doesn't get paid, whether it's in Dallas. Oh, let's put it this way. He knows he's going to get paid.
Yeah, he's getting paid.
We know that, right? As I was. We know he's going to get paid. It's just a question of – whether it's in Dallas or somewhere else. And I think he knows the answer to that already. And something you guys played and something we're going to talk about with some audio that I think both Dak and Jerry pretty kind of let the cat out of the bag in their kind of word salads that they let out today, to where I think we're I think this is the proverbial swan song for the Dak and Jerry Jones marriage this year.
Wow. And what time's that coming up at?
We'll talk about that at 8. At 7, we'll start off by asking if the Joneses gave the game away on why these deals didn't get done. But what I wanted to ask you, Fine Fellas, before we let you go, are you guys also going to complain about the weather like the morning show did?
No, absolutely not.
No complaints. This they were complaining?
Yeah, they were like, hey, man, it might be 70-something, but it's a real hot 70-something, you know?
Look at the roster. Look at the roster of that show. That's all you need to know.
That's gorgeous out here, boys.
Is that trolling or overly negative? I don't know. It's one of the two with that crew. But Sean and RJ, weekday mornings, 5:30 to 10 here on The Fan. The Get Right coming up next. Get you some Cowboys here right out of the gates. And Rangers baseball talk coming up at 7:20. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, gents.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup at Master Control. Carter Freeman coordinating your video here live on scene, handling the socials as well. Thanks to Tim Collins, remote producing this bad boy. For Lucius Alexander, for Eric Chiafalo, Zach Wolchuk, and Brian Broaddus, I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the nation at ease. Thank you, Lucius. You can watch us on the fan cam all training camp long, brought to you by Uber One. New members enjoy 3 months free at joinuberone.com. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and by Guardian Caps, as the Get Right joins us now here to talk about the day of sports and what's coming up on their show. Tonight's configuration, Reggie and Fred. And a good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Yo, what's happening, fellas? How are y'all?
Well, we're doing great. You know, Rangers get a win opening day of camp. It's, you know, exciting. Let's start with the baseball team. What do you guys make of 5 in a row, albeit 4 against the Shy Sox going into Toronto? Have they turned the corner here for us?
I'm still trying to figure that out. But the one thing that's kind of been fascinating to me, and we'll dig more into this at 7:20, is just I don't know how much it matters that they've turned the corner. And I didn't think I would see myself saying this 5 games ago. Because the rest of the division came back to you. And so, I mean, I think you've found yourself in a place where as long as you're within swinging distance, that's really all that matters, and that should be what is necessary to get the team going.
What do you think, Fred?
Yes, let me turn that on real quick. You know what? I want to be optimistic, all right? And I'm just going to say this. I am cautiously optimistic. But, you know, the thing about this team that we've seen is that, look, they beat up on the teams they're supposed to, and then they lose 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4, or, you know, maybe they'll come back and split with the teams they're, you know, the better teams, right? And so you beat up on the White Sox. You did what you were supposed to do. The White Sox are awful. That's a bad baseball team. And, oh, by the way, 3 of the 4, you only beat them by a run. So let's see what you do against Toronto, a middling Toronto team in Toronto. Then you've got St. Louis after that, right? And that's a team that, again, expects to be in the playoffs every year. And then you got the Astros. So you got a very critical stretch. And I know you got to make some moves before that. I know everybody's kind of this belief that maybe you buy, maybe you sell a little bit. But I think this is going to be the quote-unquote seesaw that we're on for the rest of this year.
I think you're squashing the sales guys in the office, though. You're silencing that narrative that maybe you should do that. You know, the team, offense did pick up last night, even though it was the first time they've scored that many runs in a couple of weeks. But the reinforcements on top of it, I can't help but be filled with optimism about where this team is going. Now, that might be the opposite of the fan sentiment around the Cowboys out here in Oxnard. Day one of camp, where can you guys find some positivity and belief that, you know, this could be a successful season?
My guy Cooper Beebe is just as fun as I imagined that he was on with you guys. That was fun. So I enjoyed hearing that. I don't know, man. Like, the optimism comes from the fact that they have constantly been some level of good, if that's something that you're okay with. But it seems like more often than not with fans of this team, yeah, you want a little bit more than that. And I completely understand why that's the case. But, I mean, you're probably going to remain a fairly good team.
Micah Parsons showed up like he had something to prove today. That's something, isn't it?
He sure did. Yep, sure did.
Sorry, Fred. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. No, I'll tell you what. One thing, and look, there's been plenty of cuts, and I enjoyed y'all's interview with Cooper Beebe as well, even though he is a Wildcat.
That's right. Emo.
What Dak said about being free, There's something about the way he said that and the fact that this dude has absolutely nothing to lose. Look, he doesn't care. Look, if he gets paid, if he doesn't get paid, whether it's in Dallas. Oh, look, put it this way. He knows he's going to get paid.
Yeah, he's getting paid.
We know that, right? As I was. We know he's going to get paid. It's just a question of whether it's in Dallas or somewhere else. And I think he knows the answer to that already. And something you guys played and something we're going to talk about with some audio that I think both Dak and Jerry pretty kind of let the cat out of the bag in their kind of word salads that they let out today to where I think I think this is the proverbial swan song for the Dak and Jerry Jones marriage this year.
Wow. And what time's that coming up at?
We'll talk about that at 8. At 7, we'll start off by asking if the Joneses gave the game away on why these deals didn't get done. But what I wanted to ask you, Fine Fellas, before we let you go, are you guys also going to complain about the weather like the morning show did?
No, absolutely not.
No complaints. They were complaining?
Yeah, they were like, hey, man, it might be 70-something, but it's a real hot 70-something, you know?
Look at the roster. Look at the roster of that show. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. That's gorgeous out here, boys.
Is that trolling or overly negative? I don't know. It's one of the two with that crew. But Sean and RJ, weekday mornings, 5:30 to 10 here on The Fan. The Get Right coming up next. Get you some Cowboys here right out of the gates. And Rangers baseball talk coming up at 7:20. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, gents.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup at Master Control. Carter Freeman coordinating your video here live on scene, handling the socials as well. Thanks to Tim Collins, remote producing this bad boy. For Lucius Alexander, for Eric Chiafalo, Zach Wolchuk, and Brian Broaddus, I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation at ease.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.